We're going to go to Kevin Bailey. He's the proprietor of High Peak Solar, located near Albany, New York. Kevin has been working in the solar electric power his whole career as a 2004 graduate of the University of Albany. He took an internship with Central Vermont Solar and Wind in Rutland, Vermont, that allowed him to learn the installation business by installing off-grid systems throughout Vermont. In 2008, he formed a sole proprietorship called, I will just spell it, and you could tell us what that meant, SYCAWAY, Solar and Wind, and then incorporated High Peak Solar Limited Liability Corporation in 2011 in New York State. Since then, he has been contracting to design and install large and small photovoltaic arrays throughout New York State. The closest system to Buffalo he did was in Lockport, New York. That's located in Niagara County here, about 20 miles northeast of us, but still in a broadcast area. His current business plan includes the development and installation of solar community solar projects throughout New York State. Let's give a warm WBNY welcome to Kevin Bailey. Welcome, Kevin.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And, you know, weather and environment are kind of the same thing, right? So
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I do the weather show at noon, so it's kind of like, oh, yeah, right.
So, thanks, Kevin. I attended the New York State Solar Energy. What's that organization called? NYSES.
New York Solar Energy Society.
Solar Energy Society meeting. It's an annual event, I guess. And for the first time, I went last Tuesday, and there was a bunch of wonderful talks, and maybe we'll get some of those people on future shows. But I want to focus on the panel discussion that happened during Tuesday afternoon, and it was a two-hour-long discussion among four experts, and Kevin was one of those experts. And Kevin works in community solar, as well as the other three, and they were all commenting on the difficulties of getting community solar installations built in New York State, and offered some improvements in terms of public policy. And I'd like to start, can you explain to our audience what is community solar and how that would be terrific for them to participate?
Happy to. Community solar is, it allows for one single solar array or project to be built with one tie-in or connection to the utility grid. It allows for multiple parties, whether they be homeowners, businesses, matter of fact, it's a minimum of 10 that can receive electricity credits via the utility's billing system from the same power plant, if you will. Before, back pre-2015, in New York State, a single solar project or array would have to have the same customer or one entity, not a multitude of entities. So this opened the door for lots of market participation across all sectors.
Yeah, and what that means is that anybody can buy into that solar farm or buy power from that and have it credited on their bill, whether you're a corporation or an individual. Is that correct?
So. Absolutely.
And these arrays are roughly, what, 1 megawatt or and above, or what's the size?
Well, the cap was 2 megawatts up until about a year and a half ago or so, and then that cap was raised up to 5 megawatts. So. Okay. Most of the projects you're seeing installed today are those 2 megawatt projects that were developed a few years back, and now going forward, you'll see even larger ones,
okay,
5 plus megawatts.
So, so they're getting experience integrating these arrays into the grid, and what can is what I understand is that these permitting of these arrays, going through the permitting process. Can you step us through the process, say, if you wanted to build a community solar farm in, I don't know, Syracuse or Buffalo, What are the steps that you need to go through as a company to begin that process?
So. Well, it's typically a site plan review for those municipalities that allow these types of projects. There are some that I'm aware of that do not currently allow them in either some or all zones. But you start off with a site plan review. You present a sketch to the board, show them things that are incorporated, such as screening, setbacks from property lines, and you go through a public hearing process where neighbors are notified and their concerns are voiced at these meetings. Sometimes photo renderings are involved, wetland studies are involved. And so over the course of usually a minimum of 4 or 5 months, you go through these processes with the town and the community to hopefully get an approval to build the project.
And what was the issue raised by the panel discussion in this process? What was the conundrum?
Well, they were specifically talking about Article 10, which is for even larger projects that connect to the transmission system. So, but a lot of it is, you know, a lot of the concerns were, you know, someone mentioned having to pay for a noise study for
I heard that,
which are noiseless.
Yeah.
Is sort of an outdated criteria.
Yeah.
It's generally just, you know, time, I suppose. You have a business climate with reduction of tax credits and incentives, and you know the old adage that time is money is very true. So,
right.
You know, every project has different timelines, and you know,
some
permitted faster than others.
So actually, there was Article 10. It wasn't. They were focusing on Article 10, not community solar. Then I misunderstood that. So the I mean, if you're going to build a community solar farm, how from start to finish, how long? I mean, when you start going presenting to the board and the board gives feedback, and then you go back to the board and finally approval, and then you put a shovel in the ground. And then you throw the switch. How and you line up the customers. I mean, what? How long does that process take? What are we looking at?
It's a minimum of 18 months.
Okay.
I would say the average is closer to 2 years. I've been involved with a project that was closer to 3 years, and it wasn't, you know, a huge project. It was a very sort of screened parcel behind a church that no one would really see, but nonetheless took quite a while. So it's a lengthy process.
Yeah. I mean, if I looked at the NYSERDA database, and they have classifications for net metering, and they have classifications for community solar, and they're vastly different. I mean, all the community solar is net metering. Is that correct? I mean, is that correct?
Well, no.
No.
As a matter of fact, in 2015, once community solar was allowed by the Public Service Commission, very shortly after it, I think it was in April of 16, net metering got eliminated from community solar. It was a very abrupt change. And in the compensation that was to take its place was relatively unknown to most developers and those outside of the sausage-making process of electric utility rates. So projects that had some development and with the utility could get grandfathered in under net metering, but most projects that were under development once it was allowed were sort of, you know, had the carpet pulled out from underneath them and, you know, in a holding pattern all of a sudden until they could better understand this alternate compensation method.
Yeah. And what was, so that delayed implementation of community solar big time then. I mean, that was a huge hit.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would say years. Most projects either were probably canceled or just put on hold for years until, you know, people felt comfortable investing more money into the project after, you know, understanding the economics of it, right? So
and they wanted to have this complicated payment, whatever they call it, reimbursement or credits or
value. Yeah,
value
of distributed energy.
Yes, yeah.
And that's changed several times even since then. So that's been this back and forth push pull since 2016. So, and that's still going on.
Yeah, I understand that largely diminished. I mean, they can only change the reimbursement rate by 2% one way or the other from net metering.
2% number was a overall net bill impact. The concerns from certain groups were that you have participants and non-participants, and those non-participants' bill would be impacted by those who are participating and saving money and reducing revenue going to the utility. And so that 2% was sort of what the capacity of installed capacity in each utility zone was based on.
Okay.
So they backed into the capacity allowed based upon 2% net bill impact for non-participants.
Okay.
And you know, basically, if you took and you know turned off one of your light bulbs, you could probably achieve that, you know, compensated the other way through efficiency to have no bill impact. So in my opinion, that 2% was a little low number.
Yeah.
Because efficiency can make up that difference for most users.
Yeah.
I've got a question. You have three activists here sitting in the studio. You have Toby Brisson and, of course, Charlie Bowman, myself, Jack Kanak. What can we do in New York State to move the process of solar renewable energy forward? And what can we do on our end to cut down, especially this wait time with Title 10 and with these regulations that kind of are always changing, like you're trying to kick a field goal and they're always moving the goalposts on you?
I think it's the carbon tax or that carbon pricing proposal that the NYISO has put forward. I think that's the single most important change and avenue that we ought to pursue. You know, the impacts on health and our environment from fossil fuels and carbon emitters is huge. And if that proposal, you know, can take flight, then I think that changes the whole game.
Yeah, and I think it will. There's a bipartisan effort to do that. I think it will. It's a no-brainer. I mean, the other thing I want to...
I was going to say, Charlie, how does the carbon tax, how is it proposed it's going to work for people out there that don't have any clue what the carbon tax is?
Well, I mean, we burn fossil fuels for our homes, our cars, and we're going to be taxed on that, the amount of CO2 coming from our exhaust pipe and our homes, and they'll monitor the amount of fuel that's being burned, and they can calculate exactly how much CO2 is produced from that, and we'll get a bill annually on our, you know, on our.
So if we put that in, then people should go to renewables.
Right. That will make renewables a lot more financially, you know, make it a lot more sense to put a solar panels on your rooftop and to build community solar farms and utility-sized solar farms, which is exactly what we need to do. And
alongside that, I think it's also probably important to incentivize purchasing electric cars and switching over to renewable energy. I mean, I feel like the tax is one step forward, but another step is to subsidize those sort of energy switches to try and make our world more sustainable.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, too. It seems like we subsidize fossil fuels, but we really don't as much subsidize renewable energy sources. Would you feel the same way? Kevin, you feel the same way that they should subsidize more renewable energy sources and not fossil fuels?
I think that the single most important thing we can do to change our world is to increase renewables by any means. And I think that right now we've got cheap gas. It's sort of a short-term,
yeah,
a splurge, if you will, which is not helping, you know, lift up the renewable energy industry. And so this proposal, and you know, electric cars are great. I have them myself. But the reality is the grid infrastructure needs to be built first to accommodate that load increase from all of those cars. And, you know, I feel like we've got one crack at it, and we've got to get the generation side right. And then everything else can follow that. We can make more solar panels. We can make more wind turbines. But we've got to renewableize that first.
Yeah. Although the way that electric cars were explained to me in a way that made like quite a great deal of sense was electric cars are the only type of car that gets greener with time. And I think you'll see that on the battery production and development side, as well as with the renewable energies being incorporated into the grids of our nation and just of the world in general. So I think electric cars are really important as well.
They're even talking about being able to use them as a two-way charging service.
Right.
You can plug it into your house and,
right,
use that as some of your household power if need be.
Yeah.
On that subject, do you use batteries? Do you have any capability? Does your photovoltaic system, do you have batteries hooked up to that to store energy?
We've started to do some lithium-ion battery systems over the last 2 years. The price is still pretty high compared to other sources, but they're designed to last longer. You know, when you compare a lithium-ion battery to a lead-acid battery, the cost is double, but the 10-year warranty and the cycle ratings sort of make it the long-term more affordable choice. So we have done those for backup power in homes. They're basically either working with or in lieu of a backup generator for a house. So yeah, we've done a few of those systems.
Yeah. But for your community solar arrays, you put have you co-sided a battery system with those arrays?
No, that popular program with NYSERDA, the large scale storage that's being tied into a lot of these projects, that funding has been, if the max has been capped, there's no more incentives for that currently.
So for any
upstate community solar farms, I still think there's funding for downstate certain areas, but the last information I got was that the upstate large storage program was exhausted.
So we need to contact our legislators and to get that going again. Okay. I wasn't aware of that. There was another issue for this. There's a huge amount of renter money in on Manhattan. They don't have access to their roof. They can't put solar panels on their roof because they don't own the apartment. So there's millions of renters down there, and they can't invest in solar farms in upstate New York. They can't invest in a solar farm in Syracuse or Buffalo or Albany because they're outside the Con Ed district. So there's a lot of money potentially available for community solar farms that we desperately need in New York State, but that money is trapped. And so, is the PSC going to change that rule at some point in the near future? So.
Well, they've addressed it in comments a few times that I'm aware of that have basically said that each utility within New York's billing system is a separate thing, and to try and inter-credit through different utilities would just be a logistical nightmare, so to speak. So I don't see that happening. And, you know, New York City has its limitations as far as where it can put the equipment. So you're absolutely right. I'm curious. I don't think those proposed wind farms will be community-type projects.
No, no, not the wind farms.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Directly participate, but, you know, those that, you know, I'd feel better living in New York City knowing they've got those wind turbines right there to help give you some juice. And
yeah. Yeah, that the proposed gigawatts, I forget what it is, 8 or 9 gigawatts, will take care of the annual demand on Manhattan, I think.
You know, hearing at the conference, the representative from the systems operator, they weren't even sure where the projects would interconnect yet. They were still at the study phase of, you know, where to tie them into the system.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a great. The offshore wind in New York State is really going very strongly, and I mean it's the process to get it going is going strongly. Anyway, well, I mean, do you would you like to? I mean, what if you were given a magic wand and you were able to change local zoning laws in a way that is more favorable to community solar, what would be the first thing you would change? I mean, from your point of view. So,
well, as far as local laws, I mean, it's set up. Personally, I've run into issues with towns, but they're just everyday concerns of neighbors, and I think that's normal. You know, as I mentioned, the issue is the time as it relates to the business climate. And we've, as a solar industry, have always operated under constant change, whether it be a tax credit or an incentive amount or net metering changing. And so, you know, it's the problem is more rooted in that change from the policy side than it is with towns who are looking at some of these projects for the first time. So that's what creates the urgency, you know, to speed it up a little bit, not necessarily having several public hearings and explain, you know, how they work and what they are. So,
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, we desperately need these things. And there are some towns around the Western New York area that have really passed some very restrictive, I call anti-solar laws. And some of them have sunsetted them and others have not. I was very disappointed to learn a couple of years ago when they started going in, but I guess it's loosened up to some degree. When you put these things, I mean, you pay the local township some taxes on these farms. I mean, from the power
permit fee. Yeah, there's a tax exemption program that towns and school districts are free to opt out of, but they're, you know, initially tax exempt, but you just jarred my memory on one issue that I remember from somewhere in the Buffalo area, and there was a town that was forbidding solar panels on the street facing
right
roof of your house.
I think it was Hamburg.
Put on the back, but you just couldn't put it on the front.
Even if the
front was the south facing,
right?
You know, they just didn't want to see it. So there has been an effort to try and, you know, hide this stuff. Like everyone thinks that it's, you know, this terrible site.
Yeah, right. I don't. Yeah, yeah. I think they changed that. I'll double check sometime. But anyway, yeah. I mean, it's this new thing, and I love the look of solar panels. My wife and I have them on our home, on our south facing roof, which we just happened to luck out in buying a house with a south facing roof. But now that I have an electric car, our total demand is not met anymore. We just got a bill.
Sorry to interrupt, guys, but I think we're going to have to take a break in just a second.
Okay.
Yeah, the literal media is here.
Oh, okay. So do we have to wrap up then? Or?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Kevin, do you want to say anything, add anything? So.
I think I've covered as much as I can. I appreciate your guys' time and, you know, look forward to,
okay,
you
Well, hopefully,
fight, good fight. So.
Yeah, thank you for calling in and spending a half hour with us. And
thanks for sharing
we'll get your renewable knowledge.
You
back sometime later in the year for an update on community solar.
Sounds good.
Okay,
Take care.
You, Kevin. Okay.
Bye.
Right. Bye. Bye.